Through it all, we have been supported by the most passionate fan base in the country. These great fans deserve teams that make them proud. It will not be easy, but we will succeed.
Remember the past, but look forward and don't look back.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride.
It starts with everybody that touches the University of Tennessee.
And that'll do it. Tennessee is going to snap their 11-game conference losing streak.
We got to get better. And everybody, do your job, and it's that simple.
And it is over, and number one goes down. Tennessee comes back to knock off the unbeaten Zags, 76-73.
I'm going to tell you what my expectations are. My expectations is to win every game we play.
I want 100% locked in. You got it?
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Don't say.
Welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio, Thursday edition of the program. It is 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Davey Hudson, Billy Williford, as we're one day closer to the third Saturday in October. Can you feel the excitement brewing?
I thought you were going to say one day closer to basketball season.
Billy, we're coming off a win. I mean, like I'm not exactly excited about the game happening in Tuscaloosa because I have an idea of what's going to happen, but we still got momentum riding until Saturday night at 9 o'clock.
It was SEC Media Days yesterday.
That is true. We didn't even touch on that, but
it is one day closer to basketball season. You're not wrong.
I was locked in. I was locked in yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Jordan Bowden taking shots at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? He took shots at Rupp Arena and their fans. Yeah.
What'd he say?
Basically said it wasn't that intimidating of a place to play. Arkansas got louder.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a smart move.
was that Bowden or was that Turner talking about how he enjoys playing in smaller arenas?
Bowden said it too.
Okay.
So.
That's funny. Yeah, that might be a comment best left after you're done. You know?
Especially this year.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Lamonte made the comment of he likes playing in the smaller gyms like at Ole Miss and Georgia.
Yeah, because they suck. Actually, Ole Miss wasn't half bad last year. Georgia might be a whole lot better. Who knows? Damn it, Billy. Bama Billy. Getting
Sorry.
Us right off the football, right on the basketball, immediately start the morning.
Football, I'm ready.
Are you?
No.
9 o'clock kickoff.
I know. Is this the latest game that Tennessee's ever played in?
It has to be. Well,
no. Didn't we have a West Coast game kickoff super late one time?
I don't remember. It's definitely the latest game since I've been doing radio. I know that. I don't know if there's been a... Because... I mean, usually the ABC game is at 8, and even in the old days when they would try and do that pregame rush stuff into 8, like 20, I mean, it's, you know, 9 o'clock.
I mean, I guess, like, championship games do start pretty late. We just haven't been a part of them
lately.
Not
in the SEC. The SEC championship game's what?
Well, yeah, but national championship.
5 o'clock?
I thought it's been, like, around 4. CBS 334, yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's a little later, but I don't know how much. Now, the national championship game doesn't kick off. It kicks off before 9, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it like 8 o'clock pregame, 8:30, 8:40 kick? I mean, they do try and squeeze in as many commercials as possible
in the pregame, so they, you know, max it out. But 9 o'clock. I still we complained and moaned about this. What was that? I guess about 2 weeks ago, whenever they announced the game time. But it's hitting home. You know, John Reed's gonna be out at Elkmont Exchange doing a watch party for the game.
How late do they stay open?
I don't know. It's a problem, right?
Yeah. Jeez. You'll have to take it somewhere else at halftime, probably.
Nah. I'll stay open for Fan Run Radio.
It's a bar on a Saturday night.
Our loyal 37. I mean, yeah.
They're usually going to stay open a good bit later than the weekday.
You know, I used to run into that, though, when I would try to have NFL draft parties because the first round's on a Thursday. And you go to a straight bar, like a traditional just bar, like, yeah, they typically stay. But if you tried to have it at like a restaurant, you get to like pick 27, and they're like, hey, it's closing time. It's Thursday, man. What the hell are you guys doing? Get the hell out of here. Don't you have to work in the morning? But, yeah, I mean, it's Saturday night. Surely, it's fine.
So you're excited.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I just asked if you guys were.
We just aren't being pessimistic about the situation, Billy. Right. That's probably the best way to phrase it.
What can you be excited about?
Just getting to see the team play.
Just seeing
the
football.
Light show.
Yeah.
No, I would agree with that.
It would be pretty awesome if like Tennessee scored and somehow the guy hit the button and the lights went off. I guess I'm excited to see Tennessee play, and if Alabama screws anything up, I'll enjoy that moment. I'll try and block out the beginning, the before and after, and enjoy that moment. And if that can happen early, that would be really helpful. Like if we do get the football and drive down and kick a long field goal, I will try to celebrate that because life's too short, Billy, to not celebrate your small victories.
How awesome would it feel to have the same first half as Tennessee had against Georgia? Would that not make – Elkmont would be going crazy.
Yeah.
Does Alabama play the same way as Georgia did in that situation too?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be feeling
tightly contested
good.
Game at halftime.
I mean, hell, if you're within one score,
you got to be feeling like you're going to cover at that point.
Be something. It's not out of the realm of possibility, is it? I mean, I don't think we're going to win the game, but it's not out of the realm of possibility to keep this thing close for at least a quarter or two, right? Like, I mean, I know we want to joke about it because you don't want to set yourself up to actually be upset if things go poorly. But I think the main problem with this team since Jeremy Pruitt took it over from just a fan psyche standpoint, forget all the football, just how the fans feel about the football team, is that you can't trust their level of play. That's the problem. It's not that you hate how poorly they play all the time, or you're overly critical of their play when it's average. It's that you don't, or that you're way too high when they play really well. The problem is you don't know if you're going to get Auburn last year, Kentucky last year, Mississippi State this year, or Georgia State this year.
It really is a night and day approach.
Vanderbilt last
year. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It just dates back to last year too. That's a good point.
You go into a game. I mean, it's.
When's the last time, I guess maybe 2016, that we actually went into games thinking we know? But even that year, I mean.
No, we had the same. Yeah. Houston and I had the same conversation back then with Butch Jones' team. So it was the same problem.
Yeah.
Even when you were really good, even when you were like right there in the edge of the top 10, top 15, you felt like at any moment this team could put together four drives and score four straight touchdowns. Or they could just absolutely be conservative, three and out, and give up touchdowns. Like, you just never knew.
I guess during that week leading up to A&M after you had beaten Georgia, obviously we had some close games leading up to that point, and you ultimately come back from 21-3 at halftime and beat Florida, and you ultimately pull out the win against Appalachian State. And then once you have the Hail Mary going into A&M, there was always a part of that game where I just thought we were going to win. I mean, you have – Malik Foreman punched the ball out and it goes through the end zone for a touchback. Tennessee gets a chance to come down. You force overtime. And I was just like, oh, it's like the team of destiny. Like, you're just going to get that break. And then ultimately it went south there. You lost two in a row, three in a row, actually, because you lost to A&M, Alabama, and South Carolina. But, yeah, that 1 week, Billy, that one, that's when you felt good.
Nah, I think 2015 broke the trust barrier for me. It was
because you had all the leads in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was the leads and giving them up. So I never trusted the team. I would say it was the Oklahoma game started it, but still, I mean, when they scored in the swamp to go up 12, and they're lined up to kick the extra point, I get a text from Tyler Lane, the big, you know, amateur champion golfer we have on every year to talk about the Masters. And he said, shouldn't they be going for two? And I went, you know, yeah, you're right. They should be. But it's not going to matter.
It mattered.
Famous last word. And then, I mean, that was it. And then Arkansas the next week wasn't quite the same, but you still got up 14 to, nah, was it 14 nothing?
Might have got up 17 nothing.
It was a 14-3.
It was a 10-point lead. That's all I can recall from that.
You housed the opening kickoff. Yeah. Like, you didn't. That game would have made sense without the other two. Like, okay, we got ahead, but it really wasn't because we were the better team. We just had some stuff happen. I mean, you were the better team that day against Florida. You were the better team for three quarters against Oklahoma. As crazy as that sounds. But
kind of were the better team against Alabama, too. You can make that argument.
I mean, it was close.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It goes in stages, I guess. I mean, Davey is kind of right. I mean, you won the last, five games. All pretty much as people would have expected. You blast Northwestern in the bowl game. You know, 2016, we went into 2016 with a new team, thinking, okay, this team, same star players on it pretty much. We can trust them now. And then the App State game happens, and you're like, oh, we can't. We can't trust them.
Yeah, I mean, that game was on a Thursday night, and they canceled classes at UT, so just the atmosphere leading up to that one.
But then we still said, maybe App State's just pretty good. I mean, I think they actually kind of were that year. I mean, they weren't bad. They weren't bad. You still should beat them better than that.
Well, but you started off.
You play Virginia Tech. You know, that game gets comfortable, no problem. Ohio was weird. But then you beat Florida on the crazy. It was the opposite. You couldn't trust the team to start games well that year.
Yeah, I remember that.
2016, it's like, are we going to actually show up this year? 2015 was the opposite. But then, now we're to that point where Davey's talking about. I don't know. It's just, I think in a fan's head, and this is just the way I think. Maybe I'm different. But if Jeremy Pruitt takes over a program and he goes 5-7, but he beats the five worst teams on the schedule, and then the next year he goes 7-5, and beating the seven worst teams on the schedule, and then the next year beats the eight worst teams on the schedule, and then to me, people would feel really actually at peace with that, because what they expect to kind of happen happens, and they're never let down, right? You play Alabama, you lose. Not a big deal, Coach Pruitt, that's okay. Let's say you play South Carolina and people think you should win, and you win. Okay, great job, coach. You got us where I expect us to be. You're in tune with my expectations. But the problem is college football is rarely like that.
Yeah, we saw it last week, South Carolina, Georgia.
Crazy.
We didn't touch on this a lot, and I really don't think it's a bad game plan. Pruitt joked earlier in the week that he'll just go for it on fourth downs and kick onside kicks. But the more I thought about it, the more I would not be upset to see that on Saturday. Because I made the point, and I think we all agreed, that Alabama can score a 70-yard touchdown probably easier than they can score a 25-yard touchdown. The receivers are faster. It's going to be they're going to be rain. So they're going to have the upper hand when it comes to knowing where to be on the routes. Tua's can pick apart any defense. I say you shrink the field as much as you can.
I wouldn't mind to see it. It'd be fun. It'd be different. I wouldn't criticize that strategy. Although I will say, because I've told you guys, I despise Georgia. I'm from South Carolina. I've watched that game with Will Muschamp versus Georgia the last, whatever it's been, 3 or 4 years, right? Every year when they play, and Muschamp does this against every good team they play that's a lot better than they are, he plays a ton of soft coverage, and he forces the other team to just run the ball and run the ball and run the ball and run the ball. And if they try and throw it, they're throwing it into, like, coverage. I mean, they just are. He doesn't blitz a lot. And really, it's a keep the game close kind of plan. And the last, whatever, 3-4 years against Georgia, when Georgia plays South Carolina, that's kind of how it goes. Like, it just, Georgia eventually just breaks them down, and I think they've even blown them out a couple of times. But the last, what it does is it forces even Georgia to use the clock to score. So I guess the question, the flip side of that is, can you at least do that to Alabama? Is that helpful at all? Or would you prefer to just go, nah, screw it, onside's kicking, we might get the ball back?
I don't know.
Because I don't think you're going to beat Alabama. Right. I mean, I'm obviously using that as an example because that was what happened. And they finally did that to Georgia. They got Fromm to throw a really bad pick. They hit one bomb on their end, and somehow, I mean, I watched the end of that game again. Like, Georgia made a million mistakes to win that football game. Anything that, if they make one more play, probably out of, like, they probably had 12 chances to win the game and went 0 for 12 on key plays that would have won Georgia the football game. Alabama's not going to do that. But would you rather play, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to play a bunch of coverage. Oh, yeah. He's going to force Alabama to just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and hope that, yeah, okay, Alabama, you might score on every, you might score a touchdown on 5 out of 7 drives. But if you only have 7 drives and you score on 5, we only give up 35 instead of allowing you to have a million drives where you score 60.
Yeah. I don't know.
Those are the two things. Yeah. I don't care, really.
I just want to see something different, I guess, because like you said, you're not going to beat them. You know?
Yeah,
you're not
going to be able to run show on some them. Creativity.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to throw on them. Well, you might be able to throw on them. Just depends.
They went to South Carolina and won 47-23.
Yeah, Alabama did. South Carolina scored late that game. Is that?
I think they scored one of those late.
Yeah.
Somebody said that they got screwed on a call and should have had one earlier, but that Alabama also got screwed on a call and probably should have another touchdown.
I don't know what the answer is. I'm glad I'm not the coach.
I mean, Alabama really hadn't played anybody, Billy. Think about it.
They ain't played nobody, Paul.
And they gave up 31 to Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa with a mobile quarterback. Tennessee's offense better than Ole Miss?
It can be, right? Like, I mean, they have the talent, I think.
I would think so. I would say Ole Miss's offensive recruiting stars cannot be that much more than Tennessee's.
No.
If probably a good bit worse, actually. You break it down.
They've been fortunate to have really good quarterbacks the last few years.
Well, the
Jordan
latest.
Te'amu,
yeah.
John Reese Plumlee, like he's looking.
Yeah. He was tearing quarterback. Bama's defense apart, just running almost. I mean, he had design runs almost every play call. You think that's.
We'll talk Tennessee quarterback. The big news yesterday is what Jeremy Pruitt had to say about Brian Maurer and his availability. We'll hit that. We'll, of course, get to the best of Vol calls on the program today as well. Thursday edition of 3 and Out. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some Truly for the weekend. It's Thursday already. This week's flown by. Going fast. Billy's just happy to have those eggs behind him.
I told Davey the first thing, he was like, hey, man. I was like, God, it feels good not to do something dumb today.
The day is early.
Well, my stomach was unsettled all day.
It's talking to one of our... Actually, I think our longest-running sponsor at Fan Run Radio last night, Dr. Daniel Smith of Dental Arts of Oliver Springs, he goes, you know, I had to miss the show today, but, man, I love when you guys get punished. He said, those
thanks, Daniel.
He goes, those Wednesdays are great.
I replayed the show, actually just the shot caller segments, for my wife last night, and she was laughing more than Davey was yesterday. Go back and watch it. Davey chuckles every time.
Every time he gets zapped?
Yeah, he's like,
sounds about right.
You're welcome.
Or when it's a question that Davey thinks that you weren't going to get right, he would start laughing.
I like how at first,
thanks, team,
you pointed out that we were saying correct immediately, or no one would say anything, and you knew you'd missed it. But then ever after that happened, every time, whether you're right or wrong, there was this long pause. Like, who wants to be a millionaire before they learn if they're going on to the next round or
not?
Is that
your final answer?
Yeah. I almost want to be like,
he's got it, $100,000.
I almost want to, at some point, you answer the question and go like, and we'll get the, we'll know on the other side.
Oh, God. That would have actually been really funny. We'll find out after the break. No, thank you.
Like on one where you're close, but you didn't quite get it. And then you come back. Another. Before we went to commercial, the question was, and Houston said this, and now we find out, does he get shocked? You know, you be like the pilot in Airplane when he wipes the sweat and then it cuts back to him and it's like a waterfall's coming down over
that,
his face.
That was not that far from accurate yesterday. People don't understand that. That collar, it messes with you.
Well, we left off talking about how Rice Plumlee of Ole Miss ran all over Alabama. And, you know, if Tennessee's going to run all over Alabama from the quarterback position,
you need Jared Garantano, dual threat.
Number one ranked.
Yeah.
Dual threat.
That was a joke.
Mine wasn't a joke, but it was playing on to your joke.
I think Billy just wanted to make sure, so I didn't get any quick Twitter hate early this morning.
By the way, guys,
got a lot.
I was kidding.
Saying that he had a high completion percentage.
Pruitt broke the news yesterday. Brian Maurer, going to be a game time decision. It's a good thing we got that 9 o'clock start. A
lot of time.
Get him ready.
Before game time to make a decision.
Yeah.
A lot of extra time.
Is 9 o'clock the latest scheduled kickoff time in the history of Tennessee football?
I don't think there could be a later. Maybe was there maybe a bowl game that started later at some point?
I don't think so. They don't usually start on that late. Davey wondered if maybe we'd played on the West Coast at some point back in the day. I don't know. I was like, it's definitely the latest since I started doing radio.
Yeah, this is late.
9 o'clock.
Like, this game will not be over until Sunday morning.
Well, they got a lot of time.
Well,
to make
if
that.
They follow our strategy, I'd get it done by around 10:30 or 11.
Pruitt said, quote, he's went kind of through the protocol here, and he's taken
well,
some,
that's about perfect from Jeremy Pruitt.
And he's taken some reps, but it will be a game time decision. He can take some reps as we move forward through the week, and that's what we've done. He's
kind
he's,
of went through the protocol
he's
here.
He's went kind of through the protocol here. Not he kind of went through. What are we doing?
We know what he's saying.
I know.
Let's not. He's in the protocol. We don't know yet.
They had him out there while the media was there, you know, handing off the football and stuff.
Was he keeping his feet?
Throwing the ball to the receivers with no, you know, no defense. Typical stuff. He's going to do the thing where it's he doesn't play him, but he wants Alabama to have to prep for him, right?
I don't know. I don't know what you do with him this week.
They're probably sitting around the office going, "Yeah, I just want Saban to have to stress out a little bit about having the running quarterback."
Well, I mean,
and they laugh because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It doesn't really matter. If he's healthy, I'd play him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've said it all week. This is not an Alabama defense from 3 years ago. Don't get me wrong. They're big. They're fast. I don't think they're elite defensively.
Well, call me crazy. He's a freshman, right? Let's say he's great.
Yes, he is.
Let's say he's great. In 2 years, when he goes back to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, as your starting quarterback,
mm-hmm.
if he's great, don't you want him to say, yeah, I remember playing here. We got our brains beat in, but, man, we're so much better now. I got
yes,
this.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. Like, if we actually believe that Jeremy Pruitt has a chance to turn this thing around at some point, don't we hope when we go back to Tuscaloosa in 2 years, You go into the game thinking, yeah, we play lights out. We might win. Like, well, don't you want to feel that way?
The lights were pretty cool. It wasn't really a scary environment. They were just better than we were.
I mean, it matters. I think it does.
No, I'd absolutely play him. I know there's a lot. Well, what if he gets hurt? I mean, you could get hurt in any game.
True.
I mean, I don't know that it's perhaps it is more likely against Alabama, but I feel like the last injuries we've had have not been like JG got hit a lot in Tuscaloosa 2 years ago. He didn't get injured. Don't get me wrong. It's a physical game. It always is. It's Alabama. It's Tennessee. I get it. But I don't. It's not like Alabama sends these special crazy blitzes that are more likely to get Brian Maurer hurt. I don't know. I'm not sitting him down. If he's ready to go, he plays. If he plays poorly, you bench him and bring in Garantano. And if he plays poorly, yeah, what are you going to do?
Throw Shroud in there. Who cares?
Yeah, why not? Unless they're trying to. No, he redshirted last year. Yeah, play him. Play all three. Rotating door. Just one after the other in the same series. Why not? But no, I'm not benching anyone to protect, you know. Now, that's if he's not hurt. If he's hurt at all, if it is a wrist, if he does have a slight concussion, then I think maybe you think about it. But, I was listening to you guys. I like the waste of time idea. I also do like the onside kick it every time idea.
That's what I was saying.
Maybe you can do both.
I wasn't really trying to poo-poo Billy's idea, you know, or what Coach Pruitt said that Billy said he would be excited about. I love it. I think it's my favorite thing in all of sports is when a big underdog tries to use a strategy that's way outside the box to try and either beat or just hang in there with a favorite. I love it. Like, some people hate it when they go over to, like, we go over to Bearden High School this basketball season and watch one of these really bad teams try and hold the basketball forever and only take a shot when it's like a wide open three or a layup. And eventually, you know, Bearden will run them out of the gym. But if the little underdog team with their short, slow guys is able to execute it really well and it's 11 to 10 at the end of the first quarter, I appreciate it. I like it. Now, you can't do that as much.
As a Bearden fan, I don't like it.
Well, who cares? Like, they still win the game. What I'm saying is
it needs to be my team that's doing it.
We beat Bearden one time doing that strategy. They wouldn't come out of the 2-3, and we're like, we got the lead. So for like a whole half, they lost the game. They did, not us.
Well, when I coached with, you know, Mark Blevins at Bearden, he had the underdog team in some of those big, really big games. And one time we were holding the ball against a zone like that, and everybody, I think it was against Farragut, and everybody's booing. And he turned to me and goes, Nate, I've done this up at the Arby's. We're throwing popcorn on the floor. This is nothing. Anyway, in football, you can't really do that as much.
No, there are penalties involved.
But, you know, you can run it all the way down. I was talking to – I was asking this question during the break. There's some weird timing rules. I believe even after a delay game, I know after, I think, a false start, and so, the clock will actually, if you run a running play and the clock's running, and then you commit an offensive penalty and line up to take the next snap, the clock will then continue to run. Now, I don't know if you committed another penalty after that, if it would continue to run. And I think the second time, it actually might only reset the play clock to 25 because there's a dead ball. But, and obviously under 2 minutes, it would stop. But if you're out in the middle of the game, I think you could just run off more time. Now, you'd have to back up. But I've always wondered if there's specific situations where it would be smart to continue taking offensive penalties and bleed the clock out as much as possible. For example, like, you're on your own one-yard line. You know you're going to punt from there anyway, so might as well just take half the distance to the goal penalties over and over and over because you're only losing, you know, inches at some point. And then
yeah,
just punt
six,
it.
Then three, then one and a half.
And you're right. You're basically with one play, you're taking like 60 seconds off the clock. It's pretty smart.
I need one in stripes to let me know if
at that point,
say,
maybe just take a safety.
I've thought about that too.
Well, that's the ultimate game plan. You'd run enough time off the clock, and then instead of just punting it to them,
Yeah, just take the safety.
You take the safety.
Well, then you got to kick it to him anyway.
Yeah, but they're going to get the ball from farther out.
Can you onside kick a kick after safety?
I think so.
Interesting.
Who was it that dropped? Was it Justin Tucker that drop kicked the ball instead of the onside kick in a Ravens game? It's like week two or something. He went out there for the kickoff.
Yeah, if he makes it, it's 3 points, right?
No tee. No, not on a kickoff. It was a kickoff. He can drop kick a field goal for 3 points.
Yeah, you can do that with a field goal. I believe it was Tucker. It was just an onside kick there at the end of the game. They're trying to get the ball back.
He dropped it. It's got to hit the ground. It hits the ground as he kicks it. He kind of tried to float it into a dead space, and it didn't really work out.
They called a fair catch, didn't they?
I think so.
But in that situation, you can jump in front and catch the ball, I'm fairly certain. On the onside, because it's already hit the ground?
That ball hadn't hit the ground, though. It hit the ground, but that was the tee ground. It'd have to hit the ground again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, that was the problem. I don't know. Weird stuff. Maybe, I mean, Samaglia is really talented. Maybe he's got some nice trick onside kicks. Maybe we could swap out the kickoff.
He doesn't do onside kicks. It's Paxton.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Oh. Maybe swap them out. Or maybe Paxton Brooks has been working on some different trick. Mm. Put them both out there, you know, the double, like, who's going
to
kick it.
Yeah, one less guy to grab the ball. I always love that.
Yeah, the other guy can. You have to have a guy on that side of the field anyway. The new rules are stupid. It's almost impossible to get an onside kick.
Can't believe this is what it's come to. I want to take 12 knees, take a safety. On, I don't know.
Bleed the clock. Stay in the game. Here's a question, though, a legit question, I think.
It better be.
If you're in field goal range and it's like fourth and one, do you think Pruitt goes for it or does he take the points? Or what would you do? Like, I would take the points. Almost every single time.
I mean, it depends. Like, is it tied? Am I down 30? Like, I don't.
Tied. First possession. What do you do? Fourth and goal at the one. You've driven it down. You got down there.
If it's tied, I'm going for it. If it's nothing, I'm trying to put a touchdown on the board.
All right.
Make them go 99. You might take them a play or two.
I'm taking the points.
Yeah, that's my point.
What's 3 points against Alabama going to do you?
Well, if you keep driving it. I mean. If you keep driving the ball down the field.
You've only got a yard to go.
They've only scored once, and you get two field goals, you're only down 1 point.
One touchdown's worth two field goals plus a point.
You'd get stuffed.
Oh, okay.
But you drove it down there.
I thought we just talked about how Ole Miss and South Carolina ran all over Alabama.
They did.
We'll come back. We'll get to the phone lines. 865-546-8200. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number one. Phone calls today are brought to you on the Nextdoor Home Group Hotline. Check them out online at nextdoorhomes.com for all the listings. They want to help you buy or sell with more money left in your pocket. No gimmicks, just results with Eli Corum and Keller Williams. Check them out online at nextdoorhomes.com. Up first, we have Matt on the horn. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
Uno, bro. How many third and 20s you think we're going to have?
Yeah, their defense isn't that good.
Zero.
Matt.
Zero third and 20s, Matt.
Why don't we pull old Johnny Majors on a third and long and punt the ball on third down?
You know, back in like the 20s and 30s, that was a really big deal. A lot of teams just punted early. What was the fog game? There's like a famous fog game. It might have been in the NFL where every team just got it and punted it on first down. Like, we don't want it. You've got it. No. You take it.
I think you'd put a lot of trust in your defense if you did that. Maybe get those guys fired up, you know.
They'd also maybe be exhausted.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering, man, if we got to keep it. It's got to be a long game. It's going to have to be ugly. You guys are talking. I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, I would love at the end of the first quarter if Bama was up like 10-0. Like, that would be a big, to me, that would be good. You know, like, we held them to 10 points. We're still in the game. And then at halftime, if it can be, you know, 20-7, 20-10. Yeah, I don't know, man. What year was it, Mark Richt? Was it Georgia or Florida when he came out before the game started and he danced in the end zone at the opposing team stadium?
He did it after a touchdown against Florida, and they got the whole team got a penalty.
But that was so freaking cool.
That was pretty cool.
I wish we would do something like that.
You know,
like
Matt on that Saturdays in the South show, they had that on Tuesday night, and that was so that happened. Georgia went on to win the football game. The next year, Florida beat them, and that's when Urban Meyer called timeouts, like up 40 as he kept running the football. And Urban Meyer finally admitted on the show that he did it absolutely on purpose, purely out of spite. Because at the time, when they asked him about it in the postgame, he's like, oh, we were trying to get some guys in and work on it. He gave all these excuses. He finally, he's like, okay, you got me. Yeah, I did it, just to rub it in Mark Richt's face that year before.
But how awesome is that, though? Like, to me, that's what sports is, dude. Like, right now, Tennessee's just the chopping block for everybody. Nobody looks at Tennessee as a rivalry. You think I was talking to a buddy the other day. He's like, yeah, Florida's our biggest rivalry. I'm like, dude, no, they're not. They are to you. Nobody cares about Tennessee anymore outside of Tennessee. Like, I got friends down in Florida. Nobody, like, they just don't look at Tennessee the same anymore, especially younger kids. I wish we would go out, just start being disrespectful, man. Do it, man. We got to get some, like, just like stomp in the end zone, like cheer after a touchdown if we get a touchdown. Do something to ignite the damn rivalry again.
Get a pick six and just flip off the team while you're in the end zone.
Yeah. Oh wait, we tried that.
That actually still is one of the coolest memes I've ever seen.
I don't disagree. I
mean, it gave us something.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's the only player. It was the only player in that game that had any fight. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Just
no one puts Galdon in a corner.
Nobody does.
I don't know. Batuli ran the whole field with him too. He was pumped.
Yeah, but he needed oxygen at that point. He had no juice left. He was just like, give me the tank.
Score? What was the final score in that game? It was like 53-7 or something.
I think so. Yeah, I think that was the only touchdown we scored.
It was.
Hey man, I just I don't know, guys. I got a weird feeling about this game.
Uh-oh. Like a positive. Uh oh.
Yeah. And you guys know I'm not the most positive person.
You know,
I'm Pruitt. Telling...
Hey, Matt, he's 2-1 against West teams.
Yeah, he actually is, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean the other one was Bama, but still.
I don't care. But there's con to everything, you know. Like he's also only scored like 14 points in 5 games too.
Yeah.
So
you know, Brian Maurer's never lost to Alabama.
Dude, he hasn't. That's a positive. Plus,
there's a positive for you.
That score was 45-7.
45-7.
Yeah.
Alabama's averaging, what, 50 points a game?
Yeah, but what'd you say, Billy? They've only been held under 45 once?
Like 5 times, I think.
In the last 2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this year they have not been held under 45 except once, correct?
Davey had that one. I can't remember what he said.
But he doesn't listen to the show.
It's true.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember. Saban's first year up here, he did the onside kick. His first game, like that set the tone for him. I think that might have been a halftime. But he came out against Tennessee, onside kicked it. They end up winning the game. Saban goes on to glory after that. We have a tendency to, you know, repel.
Wait, did he do that in Neyland, or was that when we played them in Tuscaloosa?
I think that was in Neyland. I'm almost positive. Or maybe it was his second year. I thought it was his first year he onside kicked it because I was just like,
the first year we played him, it was in Tuscaloosa, and Tennessee was, you know, we were pretty good at that point. Yeah, and they waxed us. It was 42-17, 43-17, and John Parker Wilson absolutely torched us.
Yeah, yep.
That was the game where, who was the offensive coordinator at that point? Said he forgot about Montario Hardesty being on the roster.
Ooh.
Bama's lowest scoring output of the season.
42 against Duke.
Yeah.
They're averaging 51 points a game. They've scored 41 touchdowns on the season.
It's pretty good. I think two is thrown for 27. Maybe more now.
They're 7 of 8 on fourth downs.
Yeah.
Well, hey, what do you guys think the magic numbers are? I'll hang up and listen. Like, I mean, if we're going to have to obviously control the tempo of the game, which is going to be really tough, but what do we have to hold them to yardage-wise, and what do we got to run for yardage-wise? On their pass yards, like what do we have to hold them to on pass yards, and what do we got to run for to literally keep this thing within 14, you know, 17 points to even have remotely have a chance to possibly win? See you, fellas.
Thanks, Matt.
See you, Matt.
I really don't think you have a chance to stop them.
Turnovers.
It's more of can you just outscore them?
Well, if you want a fascinating like
turnovers.
You can actually
5.
You can actually win
plus 5.
You can actually win the game type of situation. I mean, we'll just look back to last week. South Carolina scored on a pick six, so turnover somehow, right? Either turnover for a short field or you just score on the play. They scored another touchdown on an absolute just double move. DB got roasted, chuck it down the field, receiver made a play, touchdown. That's it. Those are the only touchdowns they scored in this football game. I mean, that was it. And here are the stats for Jake Fromm. 28 of 51, 295, one touchdown, three picks.
If Tua throws it 51 times and doesn't have 300 yards, I'd feel pretty good.
What was the turnover battle? 4-0 in favor of South Carolina?
I don't think.
Did Fromm have three picks and a fumble?
Yeah.
Did Fromm fumble?
I think 4-0.
So he had four turnovers?
Yeah.
I'd say this is Bama, not Georgia. I'll say +5. Tennessee needs to be +5.
South Carolina did not turn it over once.
I don't believe so.
Still barely pulled that one out.
Yeah.
Just as far as.
I mean, they couldn't score traditional ways.
Tennessee, I said Alabama's scoring an average of 51 points a game. Tennessee scoring an average of 23 points a game. Alabama scored 41 touchdowns on the year. Do you want to guess how many Tennessee scored?
Just 19. Tell me.
15.
Good Lord.
So our schedule's been tough.
No, it has.
I know. That was a joke.
Okay. Well, it's been tougher than Alabama's, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, probably. Yeah.
So I wasn't 100% sure which way you were going with that.
No, I was saying, remember after the first three games, it's like Tennessee's schedule ranks 125th.
Well, you mentioned 52 attempts for Fromm. I mean, they also ran the ball 43 times. It was an overtime game, lots of plays, whatever. But 43, 173 yards. That's interesting. We'll come back.
Tennessee's played two top 10 teams. Alabama hadn't played any ranked teams.
There you go.
Was A&M not ranked when they played them last week?
I take that back. They kept them at 24, so that's one.
Yeah, because we talked about that. Like, they shouldn't have been, but they kept them in there. Yeah. Bama. Bama privilege.
Hour two next.